Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, it's a big week this week. Start of BLNG finals.
Well, just before we get onto that, Rick, I look across the table and there's bandages, there's cuts, there's bruises, there's... Am I lucky to have you? What on earth has happened to you?
Well, you might jokingly say I got hit by a train, but I, but instead
it looks like it from here.
But instead I got hit by a car.
All really?
Right? Yeah.
And all
yeah.
okay?
Or? Oh, you should see the car. It's a mess. Yes, all's okay now. I, to be honest, can't remember anything about it. But I was attempting to cross Lindock Road and some bloke was turning right and reckons he was blinded by the sun. And clean me up.
Wow, wee. What, on the jog or were you walking?
Oh, I was breezing. It's a miracle I was going so fast that he could even get
even
me.
Hit you. Yeah. But well, are you on the mend or where?
Yeah, I'm on the mend. It slowed me down, to be honest, a little bit. But I came round sometime later in the emergency department of the Lyle McEwen Hospital. And the worst bit, I suppose, is you're just laughing at me.
I've got a line up my sleeve here.
All right. The worst bits, I've got a broken collarbone, which is a bit painful, and some really good bruising.
Yeah, and a big bandage on the arm there.
Oh,
and
yeah. Some yeah. Oh, lots of grazing.
Grazing.
But as I said, the car, that's a complete write-off.
And lucky enough, no brain damage. Well, I won't even go there and say no brain.
Well, but it's funny because I've got a lot of the reports and they gave me a CT scan and they're still looking for it.
Gone missing. Yes. All right, enough of that. Yeah. I know I've laughed about it, but good to see you up and about, Rick.
Thanks. Yeah, it's it was a bit of a shock since I didn't have a clue what went on. But as they say in the good books, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, exactly right. We've still got you here, and there's a bit of a heartbeat.
That's right. My local doctor, being the nice guy he is, looked at me and said, I can't believe he hit you at all. You could have walked under the car.
Good point.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, we are. We're into the Bros and Light finals, Rick.
Yes, and they should be quite good, I reckon.
I think so. We got the qualifying final. We'll run through quickly the grades.
Yes.
Tanunda and South in the 15s.
Yep.
Well, it's going to be a bit boring here. It's all Tanunda.
Well, I tell you what, they must hire a big bus because, I guess our listeners know, all the qualifying finals are played on Saturday at Williston. And would you believe in all four grades, Tanunda represented?
So I'm going to be repeating myself here. It's Tanunda and South in the 17s.
Well, I'd go for Tanunda, to be
honest. Same here. I'm going for Tanunda in all the grades for no given reason. But... Tanunda and Kapunda. Kapunda snuck to third.
They did big after victory. A big victory and everything fell into the right place.
I reckon the timekeeper went a bit long and they kicked a couple extra goals.
Well,
is that right, Rick?
I heard a rumour that Warren the time... Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned
his name. The
name. I heard that he was under instructions to make the quarters go a bit longer so that they could kick in a couple of extra goals to make sure they had the percentage.
No,
that wouldn't be
no
right.
Way.
Not with what,
no,
not
he with, is straight down the line,
yes,
Warren.
Yes,
he
is.
One of the best timekeepers we've got.
Oh, I'd say the best.
Oh, well, he said that.
Well, he told me to say that anyway.
Well, that's enough airtime, Warren.
Yes, yeah.
And then when the Agro... Yeah, got,
Warren, you can pay us later, okay?
Yeah, the check's in the mail. Yeah. Tanunda and Newry in the A grade. Oh, watch that game Saturday, Rick. Good game of footy. Tanunda always had the upper hand, and to Newry's credit, no Sam Gordon at full forward. They had two or three out. No Slattery played. So I bet there'll be two big ins there this week, and one will be Slattery, one will be Sam Gordon at full forward, who kicked 12 out of the 15 goals the previous week.
Yes.
So,
well,
a couple big outs.
There are, and... I guess Tanunda would be hell-bent on reversing the result of last year's grand final.
Yeah, there's still a bit of friction between them.
And, I mean, the only thing I'm prepared to say, I'm going to pick Tanunda. But,
same here.
The only thing I'm going to say is that depending on the weather, if it's wet and Williston doesn't hold the ground as well as some clubs, if it's wet, that brings both clubs back. It does it every
level playing field, isn't it?
That brings everything back in any grade of footy.
Yep.
I think things would need to go right for Newry to get up, but you know, it's a two-horse race.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would be, on the year's result, there is no question that Tanunda should win.
Yeah, I agree. And that, which will make him play Angaston next
right.
week.
And as we've said, I think, on the show a couple of times before, those two clubs, Tanunda and Ango, are a cut above the rest. Yeah. But, as has been proven over many a year, there's two seasons of football. There's the minor round, and then it starts all over again. I mean, without rubbing it in, the Adelaide Crows won two premierships in a row and were not the best side in the minor round in either year by the length of the straight. Yeah. But you've only got to play a month of good footy.
Funny, isn't it, the old finals?
It is indeed.
And the elimination final then, we'll quickly run through them. It's Newry versus Central in the 15th, which I'll go Newry, and I think you are too.
Yeah, I'm going to go Newry, yep.
Williston v Barossa in the 17th.
I'm going Williston, they own their track records a little bit better.
Central v South.
Well, that is a toss-up, I reckon. I'm going to go Gawler Central, but with no great confidence.
Yeah, all right, I'll probably follow you there.
All right.
Haven't seen either of them play this year. And then it's Barossa v Freeling in the A's, and that could be either way too.
Well, it could be.
Barossa falling over the line against Kapunda Saturday.
That's right. Neither of them, I think, are going to worry the scoreboard later on in the finals round. But, I mean, you've got to choose one or the other. I'm going to go Barossa simply because I've got a coin toss.
While we're on Barossa, Milesy finishing up as coach. He is. Playing coach.
He is.
Finished. End of the season.
Gives the impression that he's going to play somewhere.
He will.
And I would think he'd be a playing coach somewhere, I would have thought.
Well, I believe he's based in Williamstown. Yep. So he's got quite a nice little range here, hasn't he, where to go?
Well, he has.
You know, the River Murrays or the... You know, Adelaide's or, you know, Amateur League. Could be anywhere.
He's still a very good player.
State country player still.
Precisely. He's had the coaching experience. And, I mean, if someone picks him up, whether it's a BLNG side or whoever, you know, to be able to sort of play him, say, at a full forward or centre-half forward, if that whichever side it is has got a ruckman, then that's a luxury. You have a bloke as good as him.
Yep.
Not having to do the workload you would if you were the ruckman of the side, you're in with a chance, I reckon.
Yep.
Anyway, we'll wait and see.
The door, I wonder whether Schiller beer will come back.
Well.
He's had a year away at Imperials in River Murray.
He has.
Will he come back? He's based in Williamstown himself. Yeah. So that'll be another.
It's great how the room, but we haven't even finished the finals and we're talking about recruiting for next year. What about Kapunda? I've heard a rumour.
Well, the rumour has it, Monday night, interviewed ex-SANFL player.
Is that right? In view
as a
of,
playing coach.
As playing coach. Seems to be the way of the playing, getting a coach who's
playing. Something with salary cap and points. It all helps
way to go.
That way. Yeah, so they're definitely going playing coach. And as I said, SANFL ex-player.
Well, you've heard it first on this show.
Monday night was a meeting.
There will be no mention of where our source of information came from.
No way.
Simple.
No, that's all. Quickly on the Brosson Light.
Yes.
Let's quickly just nip into the netball side of the Brosson Light. I heard some very, very interesting news, Rick, which is, I know it's upset you and it's shocked me.
Well, for our listeners who don't know, it's just, as far as I can understand, the most amazing lack of forward thinking. What it all revolves around, you know, when you've got a state-of-the-art facility and you refuse to use it, then it just blows me away. The story is, which is official, is that a bit like they rotate the finals around.
Yep.
The netball, every club in the BLNG
wants to play
netball
inside.
Has voted against
what
playing at the beautiful new indoor stadium.
I haven't seen it myself.
Absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
Now, why on earth would you put your galoshes on to play netball outside when you
play
can play
in the rain or play in here?
Oh. Honestly, that is the most crazy decision you could. I mean, you look at any netball league, including some of the high quality independent school netball, they all play indoors if you've got the chance to. Now, when you're given the chance and you vote against it, Well, I don't know. I must have come down.
Oh, in the last shower.
Well, I think I must have.
But, yeah, I can't believe
it. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
You told me that today, Rick, and I couldn't believe it. And I thought, that's unbelievable.
It
you
is.
Play beautiful courts inside, out of the weather and the elements and whatever else, and you don't. They vote against it, so I can't work it out. But anyway.
And, you know, it doesn't, even if they wanted to, and I'm not sure that this is the argument that they've come up with, even if they argued upon the grounds, oh, well, we've played the whole season outdoors, we don't want to go indoors. Well, it's the same for every other club, you know, I mean.
It's no advantage to anybody.
No.
Unless it's Freeling Div 1, and I don't think they made it, so,
no.
You know. I mean,
anyway,
no
advantage, I mean, it just blows me apart. I cannot believe it.
Yeah, couldn't believe it when I heard it, Rick, so I had to bring that one up quickly today. So,
well, we've solved those problems.
Well, that's it.
I hear that you're president of the Netball Association next year, is that right?
Could be.
You could. Well, the way you play bowls,
well,
you better
exactly
go to netball.
Right. Well, that's starting up too.
I know, I've heard that, yeah.
AFL, Rick.
AFL.
Our teams are gone.
Unbelievable.
They're gone.
Right, we won't go deeply into it. I just cannot believe that. You can have, and forgetting about our bias towards Port Adelaide and the or against the Crows, but you know, there could only be one thing worse than the Crows' performance against Collingwood, who were playing basically their B grade side that had so many out. The only thing worse could be Port Adelaide's absolutely pathetic performance against
86 points.
And you'd almost argue, you know, what more incentive do you need to win a game of football than stitch up a
Did
place in the
Did we have to win that? Yeah, very lame effort, I would have said, Rick, Saturday night.
Both parts.
Shocking.
And the
Shocking.
Other, the thing, you know, I guess I've fallen out of love with Kenny Hinckley, but he comes up with the same old story all the time. You know, now here we are, we're still building a side. Well, how many years has he been building it? And we went through, I think, last week, the majority of the Port Adelaide side are not young, up-and-coming players. Sure, we've got three of them.
Yeah.
But so have every other side.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And to use that as an excuse. And,
no excuse.
I mean, and as for the Crows, at home, in front of their home crowd, playing the Collingwood B grade
side. They only stayed for three quarters, though.
You'd have got across the bridge easily, wouldn't you, if you stayed to the end?
Yeah.
But having said that,
got on the bus easy.
I wouldn't have needed that lady to
help me. Well, that's another story. Yeah. Won't go there.
But you know, neither side deserves to be there.
No, exactly right. And the Western Bulldogs will be there, and they deserve. They played some really good footy this latter part of this season.
They are a classic example of a side with. Okay, they've got a few big names, but they haven't got that many big names. But they are playing as a united group.
Yep.
And obviously, unlike it would seem the Crows and Port Adelaide, they're actually on side with their coaching staff and doing the right thing.
Well, have you heard that the Crows want to play their game inside at Ballarat? It's going to be that bloody cold. Not true. I only made that up.
They're all going to wear long sleeves because they're going to get hit by the blizzard. It's a good place.
The snowstorm coming through Ballarat.
Good place, Ballarat.
Yeah, if it's 10 degrees here, it'll be 5 there.
Oh,
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, it could be minus 5.
Yeah.
It's always freezing cold.
Good luck, Crows.
But, I mean, I think whoever finishes down in 8th position probably are there to make up the numbers.
The Bulldogs could be the one.
Since we've introduced this gap sort of et cetera, the Bulldogs, if anyone's going to cause an upset,
I agree.
Just like the way they snuck around to win their premiership.
They said something about the Bulldogs, if they finish 8th, they play Collingwood in Melbourne, which that is definitely winnable for
that's
them.
That's right. Because Collingwood, admittedly, we've already said it twice already, but Collingwood have got a lot of people out, which may well be back. But there's a sort of, I don't know what character really means when it comes to a sports side, but the Bulldogs show a bit of something, don't they?
They do.
You know, and
you got that Bontempelli, and he just...
Oh, can he play a bit?
Oh, can he? What? He's so big.
He is.
Anyway, so enough of that. I think we've covered the AFL a bit. Unless you've got anything else.
Well, just about a joke? Well, just have a quick thought to start with.
Okay.
Now, Phil, the one great thing about the instant replay and the DRS system is that you get a close-up of the screw-up.
That is spot on,
which,
isn't it?
Which leads us to the test match for a minute.
Oh, yes.
I mean, not only has it been quite sensational, the number of DRSs and seemingly getting it right and wrong and upside down and back to front, and the confusion, which is always going to be there while they keep the rules as they are, as to the limitation to two referrals that you can have.
Yep.
You know, you can keep going if you get them right, and you're gone if you get the first two wrong.
Oh, okay, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yep. And the problem with that is that you know, it's a bit like drawing cards, isn't it? Mm. Like, we're dealing with such minuscule decision making that they get nervous about doing it. Are we going to sacrifice one or what? But you know, to me, I think I've expressed my views that I'd get rid of the whole thing altogether.
I agree.
Or if you're going to keep it, you've got to keep it for every decision. You know, I mean, I can't see why the first two LBWs are more significant than the next two.
Little Freddie playing, batting down at number 11, he gets done, you know.
That's right.
You know, and he can't appeal because they're all done.
It really doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Have we got another joke?
We have,
Rick?
Got. Now, listen, did you hear about the poor footy player?
No.
He's turned up at training. He's covered in bruises. He's black and
like
blue
yourself.
All over. Yeah, it's a bit like myself, actually. And just to rub salt into the wound, he's an hour late.
Oh.
And do you reckon the coach has got into him? He's having a go at him. And he said, it's not my fault, coach.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. I fell off a five-story building.
Yeah.
The coach looked at him, shook his head and replied, "So what? It didn't take an hour for you to do that, did it?"
Probably a couple of seconds, I reckon. No, very good.
Now, while we're on the jokes, I thought this is stretching the bounds a bit to say it's sort of a sporting joke. But
well, let's say we have a footy... I can't give it away, can I?
No, you can't.
Okay, we'll explain it later.
Got a lovely lady.
Yes.
Driving east, picture this, driving east down the road.
Yep.
And you won't believe this.
Yep.
She's knitting while she's driving. She's knitting, right? Anyway, going west up the road.
Yep.
Is a motorbike cop.
Oh,
he looks over and sees what she's doing. He does a U-ey.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Turns around, comes back, gets alongside her,
yeah,
and says, "Pull over, pull over." She says, "No, it's a pair of socks."
Footy socks, I suppose.
Well,
there we are. We've got that sport into it.
We've got the sport into it. Yeah,
footy socks they were.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the test match, and then we better close.
No Smith.
Well, here's the call. You ready?
Yep.
You've heard it first on Sports Central. No Smith, no Australia.
Wow.
I sincerely believe that both sides have got very, very questionable batting lineups, both sides, but I think ours is even more questionable when it comes to the depth than England's is. I mean, I think their top order is, you know, a bit like our lack of opening batsmen.
Well, I
theirs,
think Warner's made double figures now, hasn't he?
No, he has. Well, yes, if you add the four
innings
together. And Bancroft's not that far ahead of him.
No.
And Khawaja, although, you know, I like Khawaja, but he sort of keeps letting me down a bit. And let's face it, we would not be one up in the Test series if Smith hadn't been there.
Absolutely.
And he's not there now.
And how do you pronounce the guy that's come in? I can't say it.
Labuschagne.
Yeah. That's it.
Now, he's not there. I tell you what, he's lucky not to be missing with concussion as well.
He got hit straight away too.
Unbelievable.
And Archer, what do you think of him?
I tell you what, I reckon he's the best thing I've seen for a long time. The thing that just blows me apart with him, and I apologise, listeners, for name dropping, but I was either lucky or unlucky enough to face Michael Holding and Andy Roberts, but this bloke is very Michael Holding-like.
Mm.
He
short of run.
He hasn't
it?
Got the long run.
Yeah. I still laugh about that. That's another
Holding
story.
Started off at the sight screen for me. Couldn't see him to me. I soon felt him, though. But he's got that beautiful rhythm, very, very fast arm-shoulder action. And despite what they said, he proved beyond doubt he can bowl all day. And
Because he's only a one-dayer, really, isn't he?
Well, it's the first test match he's played, but he's impressive.
Oh, that's good.
And he bowls online.
Yep.
Yeah, he's very Michael Holding.
150 Ks plus.
And he just keeps bowling them at that.
Yeah. Wow.
And he looked as fresh as a daisy. There's not much point being number six and thinking to yourself, oh, yeah, thank God he won't be on behind you. He mightn't have come
on. He must
on.
Be tired now. I'm coming in.
That's right. Anyway, I think we've probably covered ourselves.
I reckon we're probably on time.
I hope you've enjoyed that, folks. And until next time, this is Rick.
This is Phil.